Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Look over at somebody and tell them you look good today. We'll get into that later. Amen. It's so good to see you in God's house this morning. This week, as I was studying, as I was praying, Wednesday morning come around, about Wednesday midday come around, and the Lord spoke more of a sentence to me, and is what He said to me. It was more of a question: is how's your season going? How's your season going? On Wednesday afternoon, I came up to the church and pulled up in the front and got out, and Ron had put a quote about seasons on the kiosk outside before they left to go out of town. That leads me to say this. Apparently, God's got something to say this morning about seasons. Amen? There's one thing that we all have in common is we all are going through seasons, and I'm not talking about how we feel about summer or fall or winter, but I'm talking about the summers of our life, the winters of our life, or the falls of our life. When we are up and about and we are going in and out, we are visiting people, we're going to the grocery stores or the hospitals, we're going to our friend's house, we're stepping next door to the neighbors, we're having a conversation out on the sidewalk, we pick up the telephone, we get in touch with a long-lost person we haven't talked to in a while. Whatever you are doing, you are in a season. And it's important that you recognize that. It is not by chance. Somebody might would tell me that, well, what if a person is out of the will of God? Well, then they're making all the decisions in their life that is producing them being out of the will of God, and they are choosing their seasons on their own. If you are walking according to the will of God, then God, for the most part, is directing your steps, letting you walk in the Holy Spirit, is allowing you through Him to enter into and to come out of seasons. So what kind of seasons might we be talking about? Well, some of our young people that have just graduated this year are in a season of change. They're in a season of going from what we want to consider to be teenagers to adulthood. They're in a season where they're trying to figure out, what am I going to do with my life? Where am I going to go to college? Where do I want to live? What type of place do I want to live in? All of these are seasons of our life, and we go through spiritual seasons just as well. We go through seasons of depression or oppression, or we go through seasons where we are seeming like we're not growing. We want to say that the heavens feel like brass. All of these are seasons. Sometimes we're in a season of young age, we're in a season of middle age, or we're in a season of old age. Each one has their own characteristics. Each one demands more of us. In some areas, in other areas, it demands less of us. Sometimes we're in a season of growth. We are buying cars, or we're buying houses, or we get a raise at work, or we got a new job, or we was able to accept a different position within our current, wherever we work at, our current company. All of those would be seasons of growth. And then sometimes we find God sitting us down a little bit, or maybe we just find ourselves going through what we want to call a seasonal hard time, and we might be in a season of loss. It could be a loved one, or it could be a loss of a job. It could be a layoff. It could be a season of loss if we wanted to talk about our health. If we wanted to say that our job got downsized, they let me keep my job, praise the Lord, but I didn't get to keep the same pay, or I didn't get to keep the same classification. You see, all of our life, every minute of every day, we're in a season. Some seasons are short. Some seasons are so short. Some seasons are so long and arduous, and we want to cry out, what is going on, Lord? Or what have I done to deserve this? Where are you at? And in the midst of our trials or troubles, in the midst of our seasons, I think our perspective deserves to go in front of us. Our perspective deserves to go in front of us. Because what you are seeing is where you're going to put your language. The life and death lies in the tongue. So if you're seeing a bunch of negativity and you're speaking a bunch of negativity, your season is more likely going to be filled with some negativity. Amen? Amen. If we are in a hard time, but we are seeing what God sees, and we're speaking positive, and we're moving forward in the power and the admonition of the Lord, and we're going forward in faith, and we're believing that He is there, that He is ever present, He will never let us go, then chances are the season is going to turn around a little quicker. In my opening, I want to just talk for a moment about Moses. Moses is a very interesting character of the Bible. He's a very interesting man to me. Moses finds himself floating up the river, or down the river as it were. And then he finds himself as a prince of Egypt. At a point in time, the children of God, the children of Israel, start to cry out with a loud voice. And they start to say, I am sick and tired of my situation. I'm tired of being a slave when I'm a child of God. God calls someone to bring them out of bondage. He calls Moses to bring them out. Moses enters into a season to where he had never before trusted God. I have to think that in his raising in the palace as a son of Pharaoh, so to speak, that he was very taught in the way of the Egyptian gods. There was a whole pile of them. And then all of a sudden, through the power of God, he's called out of what is familiar to him. He's called out of his season, out of his familiarity. And he's called into a walk of faith, not of magic or of trickery, but of real power of the Most High God. Moses gets to the point and he speaks to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. That's what God is saying. He refuses over a period of time. Pharaoh decides he is going to let the people go. After some more trial and tribulation, the children of Israel find themselves in the wilderness. In the wilderness, they are seeking the promised land and they are trying to change their season, get out of their situation. And some spies go ahead and look at the promised land and they come back and they report. Some reports is how good things are. Some reports is how bad they look. Caleb and Joshua, they come back and they say, we can take the land. We can possess the land. And in other words, when they said that, I believe it, I would have just heard, it's God's season for the children to move into the promised land. That's really what they were saying. But did Moses get to enter the promised land? No. In one season of his life, Moses got to see a miraculous, powerful hand of God. And in another season of his life, he got to wander around in the wilderness. We do the same thing. Some areas of our life we feel so sure of, we feel so strong in, and we move forward with very little doubt. We move forward with faith, and we move forward with a bold voice. We see the fingerprints of God all over the things that we touch many times and we say, wow, God is moving so quickly. But then in other areas of our life, it feels like we're the ones in the wilderness. It feels like, when will this sickness stop? When will this trial come to an end? When will the kids change and act like this instead of like that? When are the grandkids going to get their life right? No matter what the scenario is, God, I'm sick of driving a junk car. Would you bless with a different car? People have different seasons and ways that they view them. Sometimes we get to wander. Sometimes we get to enter in. So in the times that we're wandering, that's what I want to talk to you, really focus on this morning, is your wandering seasons. Because who is it causing you to wander? I'll answer it for you. You are the one causing you to wander much of the time. Is it in the timing of God? Absolutely. Absolutely. Is God going to go forward in His time when He can't trust you at all? The Bible says that if you can be trusted with a little, you can be trusted with a lot. Amen? God says, I'll not put on you more than you can bear. So it makes zero sense to think that God's going to advance someone into a new season before they are ready, before they've graduated. I want to start with Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to pluck what was planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Think about these words as I'm going. These are not just actions or verbs or language that we use. These are seasons of your life, and you're in one of them. You're in one of them. A time to weep or a time to laugh. A time to mourn or a time to dance. A time to cast stones away. A time to gather stones. A time to embrace or a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain, a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. Some of these things are slightly contrary to what we many times want to believe about God. We want to say that God's not a God of war, but it says here that there's a time for it. We want to say that, you know, thou shalt not kill, but right there it says that there's a time for it. We're all in seasons. Sometimes they're clear and sometimes they're muddy. Hard to distinguish. James 1:2 says this. It says, no matter what you're going through, but basically count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or patience. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. How hard is it to be joyous when it feels and seems like your world is falling apart? How hard is it to be joyous when you're looking at your life and you're saying all good things are a gift from God, but the good things are fleeting at the moment? But God's Word says be joyous. We have to be joyous when they're coming to us. We have to be joyous when they're fleeting from us. It's not ours. It's just on loan. It's just on loan. When we are tested, when we are in a place like Job was, where the blessings of God that we recognize in our life are fleeting from us, we're told to be patient. Be patient and just watch it go. That's a hard pill to swallow right there. That's a tough place for humanity right there. To be patient, to do basically nothing except what the Word of God tells you to do. Don't get your emotions involved and don't get your feelings involved. And for heaven's sakes, don't get drama involved. Get the Word of God involved and get it into your patience and see God all the way through. You may come out the other side better than you went in. The flowers may smell better a little bit later on than they did when you went in. You see, sometimes we take things for granted. We're in a season of blessing. We're in a season of prosperity. Or we're in a season where the families are growing. People are getting married. Relationships are being forged. Children are growing up and children are moving on to the different things. And we will say all good things is a gift from God. This is good. And then sometimes we get comfortable in the goodness. And sometimes we quit praying as much as we prayed when things was bad. We stop worshiping as hard as we would worship when things was bad. It's easy to crawl to the altar of God when the season is terrible. Take the horns of the altar and cry out, God, I need you to change this. Or either we do it the right way. God, tell me how to change myself so that you will intervene more. A very much famous scripture, for if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and then pray and then turn from your wicked way, then will God hear from heaven and he will heal your land. Nowhere there does it say, come down and grovel and beg, and then God's just going to do all of it for you. He's saying you have to humble, you have to seek, you have to pray in your humility. And from the seasons of our life where we have seen God move, and every one of you have, we know that when we came to God in that humble state and we was worshiping and we was prayerful and we did not let His Word get out of reach of us, meaning that we kept it in our mouth continually over and over, the season seemed to go on by. The season seemed to go on by. I believe that's because we was perhaps more joyful. The Lord, His Spirit brings joy. Joy causes us to focus on the good things in life and not sit around and dramatize the bad. Not sit around and dramatize the bad. What is God's responsibility in the season that you're in? What is God's responsibility in the season that you're in? If you are going through a good time or a bad time, if I asked you to get out a piece of paper or send me a text or an email and to write down, what do you think God's responsibility is? I'm curious what the answer would be. Or I'm curious how many different answers we would get. If it's a bad situation, somebody might would want to say, well, it's God's responsibility to turn this around. No, it's not. A person going through a good situation would say, well, it's God's responsibility to continue the blessing. That's what we would call prosperity Christianity. That's a lie too. No, it's not. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Isaiah 55:11, I think, really encompasses what God is telling us about His responsibility. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it for. That means that God is responsible for the outcome. Not chance and not us and not all of our decisions, but God. And God will speak a word over our life, is what this says. And when He says it and it goes forward, it will fix, it will do what it was sent to do. Not one thing less and not one thing more. When He wants you to get some more, He will speak to you again. And then He'll speak again. And then when you get out of control in your season, He'll speak again, except this time He'll take you back the other way. He will raise us up and He will sit us down. God's responsibility is the outcome. Is the outcome. When it comes to healing, this is a thing that we struggle with very much as Christians. I've heard people even tell me, they've said, Chris, I'm aggravated, I'm even angry with God because He hasn't fixed this. And my answer is He doesn't owe you. He doesn't owe you. We owe Him. We owe Him. If he chooses to heal you while you're on this earth, then we will glorify in that, and we will thank you, Jesus, in that, and we will shout it from the rooftops and tell people of the goodness of our great God. But if he chooses not to, we must serve anyway through the season that we are walking. God does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he does not care if you think it's fair or not. He does not care if you think it's fair or not. He doesn't care if you say Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, or Season's Greetings. It doesn't change him. The only thing that changes God is God, and he is bound by his word. God would not give his word and then turn around and break it because we think he's being unfair or harsh. Let me encourage you, people of God. Seasons in our life are there so that we can get closer to him, so that we can learn more of him. Every minute of every day, every word, every idle word, every thought and situation helps to mold us into the people that we are. What do you allow to mold you? What do you allow to mold you? I hope it's this. But if you're being molded by social media, if you're being molded by bad behavior, if you're being molded by something other than the Word of God, then we are in the wrong. I made allude a few minutes ago, our seasons, some of them are short and some of them are long. So I want to ask you this. Can your actions shorten a season? I heard what? Wait a minute. I just heard you say, or agree, that God is the changer of situations, not you. But then you also agree with me that your actions can help to change a season. Why? See, there's the nugget in the dirt. When you do God's will, the physical and the spiritual recognizes it. Things change when you do things God's way. Sometimes they get worse before they get better, and sometimes they get better before they get worse. But either way, it's not our call. Either way, it's up to the living God to say, my word says what their actions are doing, and I must acknowledge my word. That's why our actions, that's why the things that we do can either shorten a season or prolong it. The children of Israel are in the wilderness and they're wandering around and they're trying to figure out where to go and what to do. And they send out the spies there like, this is the promised land, and the fruit and the grapes, you just wouldn't believe it. But their disbelief, their lack of faith, their murmuring, their complaining, everything else that was going on, caused their season to elongate. Their actions did not override the will of God. Did God want to give Moses the promised land? I think so. The Bible doesn't say that, but I think so. I think God had full intention on allowing Moses to see the promised land. But he didn't, because of what he did. Because of what he did. And we want to say that God is all-knowing and he knows everything. He knows everything before we do it. So he knew that that was going to work out that way, that for Moses to die in the wilderness, basically that was the will of God. Okay. But his action, Moses' action, the people's action, did not line up with what we know to be the will of God. Keep in mind, those people wasn't walking through the wilderness with their Bibles, with their swords. They was being led. They didn't have the stories of Jesus written on the pages to read and study and look at and draw strength from. In the season that you're in, what is your responsibility? God's is the outcome. What is yours? Everybody who can, if you would, James chapter 1, please. James chapter 1, I'm going to give you a moment to get there. We're going to look at verses 2 through 8. When I've been going through a hard time in my life, I often ask the question, Lord, why is this happening? And more times than not, I get this thought pop into my head or into my spirit that says this, well, you made this bad decision. And if I look back over the trials in my life, I can honestly tell each and every one of you that I made poor decisions that provoked hard seasons much of the time. That's an amen. Verse number 2 says this, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything of the Lord, because he's double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Did you spot the three things that jumped out to me? He says when you're going through various trials, when you're going through your various seasons, he's saying be patient. And then he says if you lack wisdom, look for it, so that you can start to do the right thing at the right time, God's way. If you lack wisdom, ask for it. And then he says, but let you ask in faith. You need to have faith. For it is impossible to please God without faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man, which is the he from the he who doubts, he that suppose that he will receive anything. You're not going to receive anything double-minded in our seasonal trials. You see that, right? Not going to receive anything being double-minded. The season is going to prolong. The season is going to prolong. People of God, we have to be patient in no matter what it is. Patient in the sickness while we're praying for the hand of God. Patient in our financial lack or distress as we are praying and believing that God will help us straighten it out. But just praying is not enough. We have to seek the wisdom of God and we have to apply it to our lives. Sitting around and whining about our finances when the Word of God says that if you don't work, you don't eat, and we don't have a job or we're getting a job, we're sitting on the front porch, it's not helping us because we're not applying the Word of God. With sickness, if we're sick and the doctors have said this is what you have, that is a fact of the matter, people of God. That is not a time to lose faith or to back down. And the doctor always says this, this is what you have, this is what we found, this is what the blood work shows. And then a good doctor says this, a good physician says this, you need to stop doing this, you need to stop doing this, you need to stop doing this, you need to do. A good doctor will tell you the things that you need to quit. And then tell you the things that you need to do. My grandfather was on his deathbed and he was dying from emphysema. And I sat there by the bed and I was talking to him and I said, Grandfather, do you know Jesus? And he said, I have made my peace with the man. not going to pry anymore. That's that. He said, I've made peace. I said, okay. I asked him, I said, what do you think about what's going on in your life? Grandfather liked somebody just to be straightforward. Just say it how it is. And I asked him, how do you feel? And I'm going to tell you what he told me. He said, the doctor told me 15 years ago that if I didn't stop smoking, that I was probably going to die from emphysema. He said, and now I'm laying in the bed because I didn't stop. You see, our actions, you know, that hurts me on the inside, but our actions cause an effect in our life. It causes a season. We have to apply the will of God to our lives, and we have to do what He says do, and we have to turn away from or shun what He says don't do. If we do that, we help Him by infusing the power of the Word of God into our life. We help to bring that season into fruition right in front of your face. Or we can choose to be rebellious and not do it and say, God, you're not that important to me, and we can just move on. And then that produces a season as well, and it will be less desirable. When we're in a season and we're doing what we can do, we're seeking, we're praying, we're fasting, we're grabbing a hold of the altar, we are crying out, we're doing everything that we can do, we're applying the Proverbs to our lives. What should you expect? What should you expect? I had a wonderful person one time tell me, you shouldn't expect anything. God doesn't owe you nothing. He does not owe you nothing. Ah, but people, you should expect God to move in your life. You should expect to see the hand of God move. Jeremiah 29:11. This is what God says, for I know the thoughts that I have for you. God is saying, I'm thinking about you. And I know what I'm thinking. I'm having thoughts of peace and not of evil. I have thoughts to give you a future and a hope. Should you expect anything in your season? Absolutely. Absolutely. You should expect God's good thoughts toward you. You should expect Him to give thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future, not a thought of a future. God doesn't tease you with the thought of a future and a hope. He says, I want to give you a future and a hope. If you choose it. If you choose it. It pains my heart, but there's people all over the world that doesn't have a lot of hope today. Because they don't know Jesus that I'm talking about. They don't know the gospel that I'm talking about. They don't know the love that He showed for us on Calvary. They don't know what His Word says, precept upon precept, word upon word. They don't know the thoughts that God has for them. Oh, we're so blessed. You do. You do. And I want to tell you, stand bold. Stand up. Choose God in your life. Don't worry about what people say behind your back. Those are them crazy Christian people. Don't you worry about that. Well, what if they talk about me? Who cares? Well, what if they look at me and they bully me at school? A young lady came to me and she told me, she said, the kids at school know I'm a Christian and they bully me for it. You're going to be persecuted because Jesus was persecuted, so put a belt on and go get it. We're in seasons. And some of you are on your up, and some of you are on the down. Some of you are in the middle. Some of you are starting to climb or to rise. Hold to God. Expect God to move. Imply the Word of God in your life. The final story that I want to leave with you is a three-part. This is a three-part. And we find it in John chapter 3 to start with, 11 through 16. It says, then tax collectors came to be baptized. Those are in the highways and the byways at this time. And they said unto him, Teacher, they was talking to John, they said, What shall we do? And this is what he said to them, Collect no more than what is appointed to you. That means they was cheating people. John calls them out and says, Don't collect more than what they owe. Because being honest is in the Word of God. And he knew it. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, What shall we do? And he said unto them, Do not intimidate anyone. He was telling the soldiers, Don't be a bully. Don't intimidate anyone. Or falsely accuse them. Don't accuse them falsely. Be content with your wages. Obviously, they was complaining about their pay. So he said unto them, now as the people were in expectation. Verse 15, the people are in expectation. From Malachi to the New Testament, there's about 400 years. And during this 400 years, there's not a whole lot written that we can find of the gospel. They call them the Dark Ages. But now the people are in expectation because there's starting to be an upheaval. There's starting to be an uproar. The season is starting to change. And all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he is the Christ or not. So John answers them and he says, I indeed am going to baptize you with water, but one is coming mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not even worthy to loosen. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And then in John 17, 7 and 8, we find Jesus saying, Nevertheless, I'm going to tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. You see, he said he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He was prophesying of things to come. But he said, It's to your advantage that I go away. It's expedient that I leave. For if I do not go away, the Helper cannot come to you. But if I depart, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. They went from a season of dryness, separate from what they were starting to recognize as the gospel. And John says he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Jesus says, I have to leave you so that I can send that Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 is where the story is completed. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. This sounds like they was expecting something because they could have been out playing in the sand, or they could have been out building, they could have been out talking, they could have been out dramatizing or gossiping, but they was in the upper room seeking and praying, obviously expecting, and then appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat down upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak. Through this little three-part story here, we find the saints of God expecting God to move. We find them being patient and waiting what Jesus said would happen is what would happen. Waiting what John said would happen would happen. And then we find them having faith that it would happen. Well, how can you see that? Because they gathered in the upper room and they was praying. That is a work of faith. You can't see a prayer unless somebody makes it obvious to you. But you see people gathered together praying. You see the work of prayer going forward. You see that faith. They showed faith. They showed patience. Expectation. 2 Timothy 1:7 as I close. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He has good thoughts for us. Thoughts of a future and a hope. And then he says, I didn't give you fear. I gave you an overcoming spirit. I didn't give you weak feebleness, but of power. I didn't give you of hatred, but of love. And I didn't give you anything but of a sound mind. A sound mind. Children of God, people of God, in your season that you're going through, and you know what it is. You know exactly where it's at, and you know how it feels. And when people come up to you and you try to tell them your story and they hug you around the neck and you say, I know how you feel, you do not. You do not. You might know what it feels like to lose a loved one. You might know what it feels like to be fired from a job you need to provide for your family. You do not know how they feel. You don't know how they feel. And they don't know how you feel. But He does. He does. He knows that you're broken, and He knows that you're hurting. He knows that you struggle from minute to minute and from day to day. But today He's telling you, I'm with you. I got good thoughts for you. I want to bless you. I want to raise you up. I want to use you. Amen. That's powerful. He said, I didn't give you any fear. Stop running around the world scared. I didn't give you fear. I gave you Jesus. I gave you salvation. I gave you eternity. I gave you hope. I gave you stripes on His back for your healing. I gave Him chastisement for peace. But apply my word to your life. Apply my word to your life. Free up my hands and let me move. That's what I really feel God saying. God can want to bless you, and He can want to do and do and do. But He's not going to override your will. He's not going to override your will. He's going to allow you to choose His way, or He's going to allow you to choose the hard way. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Would you start to sing, please? Clear your mind. Let the bills go. Let the job go. Forget about it for a few moments. Remove the cloud. If you have depression trying to grip your life for the next few minutes, just think about He gave you a sound mind, a clear mind. And He says, I want to give you joy. I want to deliver you and set you free. But you have to let me in. You have to choose me. Hallelujah. If you know the song, sing, begin to worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, I want to pray this morning for all of my brothers and sisters, for all of their seasons, for all of their issues or their problems. Lord, I don't care if, like Job, you allowed it into their life, or I don't care if, as the book of Proverbs, they brought it in with bad choice. I don't care. reveal to us this morning, Lord, which one we are. Which one we are. Lord, rise up within us to choose you. You deserve all the glory, all the honor, and all the power. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The altar's open. If anybody would like to step out and come and pray, the altar's open. Hallelujah. Don't just expect a season to just run away from you because you want to call yourself a child of God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you do, then He'll do. If you do, then He'll do. If you're lost and you're in turmoil and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you from experience, He will reach down and show you a miracle just to show you how good He is. Just to show you how good He is. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for every person here. Lord, act as we may, every person's going through a season. Several seasons at once, and most, in fact. God, and we don't know how each other feels. But we know you. Holy Ghost, every person from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, empower us to be patient. Empower us to be faithful. Empower us to show faith, to demonstrate through prayer and worship and seeking your face. Hallelujah. God, I pray that the Bible is not just a story anymore. It's not just a collection of works, but is the living Word of God. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, Father, I know the trouble of her heart. God, I believe you've already moved. Lord, your word says that a prayer of faith shall save the sick. And Lord, we pray to see your hand, to see your healing in her life. Father, I pray that you make her whole. I pray that you deliver her. I pray that you give her a testimony that she can shout from the rooftops, that no one can damper or take away. That she knows that the only way is you. Father, I pray for your moving on these people's lives. God, whatever season that they're in, pour out your presence. We don't know how they feel or what they're going through, but you do. But you do. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People of God, if you're done praying, just reach your hand towards one of these in the altar. Stretch out your faith. Lord, move. Make the crooked places straight, I pray. Lord, allow us patience, no doubt, to enter in. Help us be stubborn in our faith and not partake in nonsense. Not to be wavered or tossed. To know your word and be bold. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Lord. worship you. God's Spirit is good right now, people of God. If you have a need, when the waters was troubled, that's when the people was told to get in. You don't have to be made a spectacle or make it announced. All you got to do is say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. I'm available. Move. Come on, God, show me where I lack. Show me where I lack. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're praying or worshiping right where you are, do not dare move. Stay. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and give you peace in your rising up and your lying down, your going out and coming in, both now and forevermore. Those of you that are available, would you give your response? May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. And think about the next part before you say it. Be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. 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 Saints of God, stand fast. Do not waver and do not move. Stand strong in whatever you're going through. And take His word for it. He will see you through it. Amen. God bless you. We pray that you have a wonderful week. Prayer service on Wednesday night. Adult Bible school and youth tonight, if you can attend.